Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000ths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
People keep talking about how the world is going to come to an end. And I wonder, in these days and these times, if anybody people keep talking about how society is falling down today. And as hard as I try not to listen just to what them folks got to say, but you know, I just can't help but look around and see we digging our own grave. And there's just one thing I want to know. Can anybody be saved? Well,
give me just another day. Would the air I breathe be better if I'm not around you? Will the man be spared who spoke the truth? Cause he never did abuse it.
Today's podcast on It's My House is titled Industrial Demics Plus E-Commerce Demics Equal Booker T-nomics. Live stream number 619-768-2945. We got three words out here that probably most people have never heard of because I invented them all this morning. But we're going to come back in a few minutes and define all that and then get into the podcast.
Thank you.
All right, today's podcast is titled Industrial Demic plus E-commerce Demic equals Booker T-nomics. 619-768-2945 is the call-in number for our live stream right now. What is industrial demics? What is e-commerce demics? Couple words that I've coined here this morning. And what's Booker T-nomics? Well, Booker T. Washington, which many people have heard of, and we're going to do a reading this morning as well. When he took over as the head of Tuskegee Institute, or what we know now as Tuskegee University, they didn't have anything. But I think a little building, shack, what have you. So a lot of the first buildings at Tuskegee Institute were built by students. Built by the students. And if you go to our Facebook page, which is E-Commerceville, E and the word commerce, and then Ville, V-I-L-L-E, one word, E-Commerceville, go to our Facebook page. And there is a picture I just placed there a few minutes ago. There's a picture of a brick and three nails. Now, that's a very important, there's a lot of lessons in that brick and three nails. First thing, that brick and three nails are from Tompkins Hall, one of the buildings that the students at Tuskegee, because they couldn't afford a contractor. Matter of fact, they couldn't afford bricks and nails. So Booker T. Washington, and that's where the Booker T-nomics comes in at, when you're ass out and broke, what do? Well, he arranged for his students. First thing, they started the business there. Students learn how to make, those who are interested, learn how to make bricks. That's what we're going to do our reading about this morning. Students learn how to make bricks, not buy bricks. They learn how to make bricks. Mind you, they didn't have any prior experience. They had to learn it from the get-go to scratch. They had to get it from the rough. They didn't have money for nails either, so they had to learn how to make nails. On the top, the first picture that you see, I just placed it a few minutes ago. That brick and three nails are what students made at Tuskegee Institute. They had to make the bricks. They had to make the nails so they can construct the buildings. That, like the first buildings that they had at Tuskegee were built by the students. The same methodology can be used today if you're short on cash. And they got so proficient at making quality bricks that, and there was nobody else making bricks in the county where they were. So they basically had a monopoly, at least for a while. And that making of their own bricks and nails, as that's what I call industrial demics. Academics, you sit in the classroom, it's passive. You read about somebody making bricks. You read about somebody making nails. And then you might get a quiz or a test with dates in it, and you're calling back from memory. But that's academics. I guess academics has its place. But these people were in what I call industrial demics. They learn how to start a business. They learn how to monetize that business. The first thing, they learn industrial demics. Because industrial demics, it not only teaches you something usable, but it teaches you how to monetize it. In this case, they start actually a little industry. And that brick and others like it, and nails, those nails you see and others like it, were the business and the industry that Booker T. Washington was proactive with, because nobody was giving money at that point. And that, in part, financed what we call today Tuskegee University. That innovation, and I'm even going to call it high finance. If you find yourself short on cash, make something, create something, and sell it. They didn't have the internet back then, because now they could have placed, because you go online and buy bricks on Amazon, bricks on eBay, nails on eBay, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, you name it. Now bricks and nails have a place in e-commerce, but they didn't have that back then. And that's what I call Booker T-nomics. We're going to play a selection here from Umar Johnson, and then we're going to come back with a reading.
So what's the solution? So how do we get that?
Here's the thing. We got to recognize that wealth is intergenerationally created. Most people who get rich don't get rich in a lifetime. Oprah, that's once in a while. Bill Gates, that's once in a while. Most people are intergenerational wealth. That means what? That if black people want to catch up, we have to start saving wealth and passing it to the next generation. Our biggest problem ain't that we're splurging. It's that every time we splurge, we're stealing from our descendants. You're giving them no inheritance to get started with. But the white child, they're starting out $100,000 plus, a million dollars plus. And I think we have to become more strategic in the way that we do our health plan as well as our life insurance plans. Because what I'm learning with a lot of these white folks, a lot of them are getting their first, what you want to call a shock of wealth through the life insurance policy of their parents.
We talk about that too. Life insurance policy.
So there's so many different strategies towards wealth that we're not even thinking about, because black people, our selfishness, it's also based on our, what you want to call it, emergency consciousness, survival instinct. We're only worried about our life. We do not think about those who come after us. Now, you got to realize now, we got our slavery. White folks been already building wealth for a couple centuries.
Right.
We started behind the eight ball. Okay? So you got to play catch up. How do you catch up with somebody who's 100 yards in front of you? You have to run faster than they are.
That means
we have to sacrifice our spending habits more than everyone else in order to catch up. How does a people who are at the bottom waste money more than people who are at the top? So not only are you not catching up, you're not even thinking about trying to catch up.
This is good. And we got 1,000 questions, and we know you got a flight.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate the time.
Thank you. No problem.
One fat meat juicy point. What would it be before you go on?
I would say that we have to build our own schools. Everything we're talking about, the only way it becomes normalized, the only way it becomes a part of the collective black consciousness, is if the children are raised with it as a group. Remember, all progress is group work. It's teamwork. That means we need all the children in Jackson to be taught the principles of financial empowerment. All the children of Jackson to be taught how to eat healthy. All the children of Jackson to understand what black family means and why it's so important. Until then, it's just a specialty. As we spoke earlier, diet being a specialty, wealth is a specialty. Think about it.
Yeah.
If you're black and you're in the know about money, in the laws of finance, you are a specialty.
Right, right.
You are an eccentricity. You are an oddity.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Because for white people, gaining wealth is a regular part of their everyday conversation.
Right.
Even poor white people are regularly talking about wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Black people don't discuss wealth at all. We have to move it from the marginalized status it has and make it a mainstream topic of conversation.
Is there an answer? I know you can't just drop a 2-second answer.
No, no. Here's what I would say with the unity. Again,
mm-hmm.
unity has to be incorporated into the collective consciousness, which means children have to be socialized to unite with one another. Remember, our kids are socialized to disunite as a principle, right? I've had first graders, 6 and 7, talking about how black your skin is, how cheap your clothes is, how nappy your hair. You're 6.
Yeah.
You're just your first year in school. How do you know all this?
Yeah.
The parents, we are teaching our kids to be Negroes. So the only way you're going to undo that is to teach them to be African, which is why I want my school to be residential. Because I know sending them back to the same house that created the illness after school is going to undo everything I do from 8 to 3. You got the kids for 16 hours. I got them for 8. I can't win because the brain is the creature of repetition.
Yes.
Whoever gets to this the most will rule it. What did Adolf Hitler say? Come up with a lie, keep on telling the lie, be consistent with it. It ain't got to be the truth. But the brain cannot resist the temptation to believe something that is regularly presented before it. Repetition wins. We give our kids to white folks for the first 18 years of their life, then we want to remake them into Africans for the rest of their life. That's ridiculous. The formidable years of conditioning is birth to 12. The formidable years of conditioning is birth to 12. We give that to white people. And then when they turn 21, they already have habituated. They already have a personality. They already got hard habits. And now we want to re-Africanize them. Who does that? What people have ever gotten free, given the best years of their children to their oppressor, the manipulator?
Okay. Today's podcast is titled Industrial Demics Plus E-Commerce Demics Equal Booker T-nomics. E-commerce Demics, you're not going to get a degree, to my knowledge. There's no degrees offered as of yet in e-commerce. There's no mainstream brick-and-mortar university that has a e-commerce demics curriculum. Most of them are academic, all right? But e-commerce demics, you basically got to learn online from other people that are doing it. And that's where we're at right now. Industrial demics still plays a role, too, because people live in tangible buildings. They don't live in a virtual world. They live in intangible buildings. So you got the building trades and things that are connected to the building trades. I'm going to do a reading right now from the book Up from Slavery, written by Booker T. Washington, Chapter 10. Chapter 10, and it's titled A Harder Task Than Making Bricks Without Straw. From the beginning at Tuskegee, I was determined to have the students do not only the agricultural and domestic work, but to have them erect their own buildings. This is what I call, now this is me speaking now, industrial demics. They didn't sit in the classroom and talk about various type of buildings or, you know, or agricultural. They actually did it. They lived it. They ate what they grew. And quite a few of those people could take the, because they were gaining experience. And they learned how to monetize it. And several of those early students, in those early graduating classes at Tuskegee, they had a ready profession with experience behind their belt before they even graduated. Industrial demics. He did it. He had academics with the industrial side of it. Anyway, my plan was to have them, while performing this service, taught the latest and best methods of labor. So that the school would not only get the benefit of their efforts, but the students themselves would not would be taught to see not only the utility of labor, but the beauty and dignity that would be taught. In fact, how to lift labor up from a mere drudgery and toil, and would learn to love work for its own sake. My plan was not to teach them to work in the old way, but to show them how to make the forces of nature, air, water, steam, electricity, horsepower, assist them in their labor. At first, many advised against the experiment, having the buildings erected by the labor of students, but I was determined to stick with it. I told those who doubted the wisdom of the plan that I knew that our first building would not only be so comfortable, but so complete in the furnish, I mean, in their finish, as the building, these buildings were erected by experienced hands of outside workmen, but in the teaching of civilization, self-help, and self-reliance, the erection of buildings by the students themselves would more than compensate for any lack of comfort or fine or finish. Here's another benefit of industrial demics. A lot of these students that participated in this, after they graduated, they knew how to build their own house. And they didn't need to get a 30-year mortgage on their house. Because the moment you get a 30-year mortgage, you don't own that house outright anymore. The institution that loaned, or the person that loaned you the 30-year mortgage money, is now your de facto legal partner. That's why if you miss payments, they can foreclose on you and take the house. That's the skills. Now, name how many brick-and-mortar universities, including Harvard, Yale, Colgate, all those, where you can leave out after 4 years or whatever it is with that kind of educational advantage. We got 57 minutes left on this podcast. The number is 619-768-2945. I'll be waiting for your call to call in on that one. All right, skipping down because this has got a lot of meat to this chapter. I highly recommend this book. I say it's required reading. You're going to learn something about practical finance and practical living in this book. Let's see. In the early days of the school, I think my most trying experience was in the matter of brick making. As soon as we got off the farm, reasonably well started, we directed our next efforts towards the industry of making bricks. We needed these for the use in the connection with the erection of our own buildings. That's him and the students and any staff that participated. But there was another reason for establishing this industry. Now, mind you, he's using the word industry. That means anything that's connected to the business of making bricks. There was no brickyard in town. In addition to our own needs, there was a demand for bricks in the general market. I had always sympathized with the children of Israel in their task of making bricks without straw, but ours was a task of making bricks with no money and no experience. It was interesting that they, once again, go to our Facebook page. That brick you see is over 100 years old, made by the students of Tuskegee at the time. Those nails you see also were made by the students. Now, mind you, they weren't talking about the white man's holding me down. They didn't blame Whitey. They didn't talk about white supremacy's holding them back. They didn't make any excuses. They learned how to make bricks without being bankrolled. They learned how to make nails without being bankrolled. And then after they made something, that's our battle cry forever, make something and sell it. They made enough bricks and nails to not only for their needs, but nobody else in their town, as you just read what he just said, I mean what I just read, he wrote it, Booker T. Washington, and then they sold to the general market. White folks were their primary customers. Now this is during Jim Crow era. No internet. So we don't have any excuses in 2019 and beyond. In the first place, the work was hard and dirty, and it was difficult to get the students to help. Today, it'll probably be practically impossible to get them to help. When it came to brickmaking, their distaste for manual labor in connection with book education became especially manifest. It was not a pleasant task for one to stand in the mud pit for hours and with the mud up to their knees. More than one man became disgusted and left school. They quit. Don't be complaining about the Latinos coming up from Central and South America. Particularly if you quit or don't even try. And this goes over to not only construction work, building trades work, because that's what it is, building trades. Because you got new building trades coming up, too. We talked about a little bit about that yesterday. So went housekeeping on it in that, too. We tried several locations before we opened up a pit that furnished brick clay. I had always supposed that the brick making was very simple, but I soon found out by bitter experience that it required special skill and knowledge, particularly in the burning of the bricks. After a good deal of effort, we molded about 25,000 bricks and put them into a kiln to be burned. The kiln turned out to be a failure because it was not properly constructed or properly burned. All right, we began, and that's all a mistake. That's all a so-called failure is. Okay, it's saying, okay, you got to tweak it. Long story short with this, they tweaked it about three times before they got it right. I'm skimming through this chapter. This is chapter 10 of the book, Up from Slavery by Booker T. Washington. Brickmaking has now become such an important industry to our school, we're talking about Tuskegee in the early days, that last season our students manufactured 1,200,000 first-class bricks of quality stable to be sold at any market. Aside from this, scores of young men have mastered the brick-making trade, both from the making of bricks by hand and by machinery, and are now engaged in the industry in many parts of the South. They took their experience, once again I call it industrial demics. Today we're talking about academics. I'm not high on academics. I'm not. And that's the system I went through, academics. Industrial demics and e-commerce demics is where the ball is right now. The making of these bricks taught me an important lesson in regard to the relations of the two races in the South. Many white people who had no contact with the school, Tuskegee, and perhaps no sympathy with it, came to us to buy bricks because, now this is Jim Crow era now. Jim Crow era. many white folks came to us when they found out our bricks were good bricks. They discovered that we were supplying a real want in the community. The making of these bricks and nails caused many of the white residents of the neighborhood to begin to feel that the education of the Negro was not making him worthless, but that in the educating of our students, we were adding something to the wealth and comfort of the community. As the people of the neighborhood came to us to buy bricks and nails, we got acquainted with them. They traded with us, and we with them. Our business interests became intermingled. Mind you, no internet, no smartphones, no desktops, no laptops, no tablets, no internet connection. And Jim Crow era. But that didn't stop business from going on. We had something which they wanted. In this case, quality bricks, quality nails. All right. And know-how. All right. They had something that we wanted, which was money. This, in large measure, helped lay the foundation for the pleasant relations that have continued to exist between blacks and whites in that part of the South. Whenever one of our brick makers has gone into the South, we find that he has something to contribute to the well-being of the community in which he has gone, something that has made the community. Skipping down. The same principle of industrial education, which I call industrial demics, has been carried out in the building of our own wagons, carts, and buggies. These people are into transportation too. Industrial demics. We now own and use our own farm and about the school dozens of these vehicles, and every one of them has been built by the hands of our students. Aside from this, we help supply the local market with these vehicles. Here we go, white folks buying their products. Jim Crow era now. Now, nowhere in here you hear him talking about, and he's a former slave, born into it. You don't hear him making any excuses about the white man's holding me back. The supplying of them, talking about white folks, in a community has had the same effect as supplying of the bricks. And the man who learns it at Tuskegee to build and repair wagons and carts is regarded as a benefactor by both races and the community where he goes. The people with whom he lives and works are going to think twice before they part with such a man. The individual who can do something that the world wants done will, in the end, make way regardless of race. Those are the words of Booker T. Washington. Now, there's a flip side of that, too. I'll read that. Most of the new students at that time of Tuskegee brought a written or verbal request from their parents to the effect that they wanted their children taught nothing but books. The parents, not all the parents, but a lot of these parents at the time, wanted their kids to be academically educated. Not industrial demic educated. I don't know what it was. Now, that same thing happens today in 2019. But there's a whole bunch of people with college degrees sleeping at the shelter tonight. The more books, they wanted more books, larger books, with longer titles printed on them. And that's what happened. That's what happened to a lot of schools, particularly HBCUs. They graduate people, but a lot of those graduates can't find a job. Because academics doesn't teach you how to monetize or commercialize what you've been sitting in the classroom for 4 years doing, for the most part. Anyway, those excerpts, those readings were out of chapter 10 from the book Up From Slavery. There's a lot more to it. You can purchase the book online or at your local favorite bookstore, or you can go on YouTube and listen to the audio book all at one swell swoop. That's about 7 hours. An abbreviated form is like about an hour and a half. Or they have chapters. You can do it chapter by chapter. That chapter was chapter 10. So if all you want to do is listen to chapter 10, go do that. Now, this morning, what I did, and I, you know what, I didn't realize it because I've had this book on my phone for over a year or two. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she mentioned the college that bankrolled itself in part by making bricks. And then she confirmed it was Tuskegee. So I said, man, you know what? I bet you that's in the book I got on my phone. I hadn't read that for you, chapter 10. Sure enough, it was chapter 10. So I know, just to keep myself in line, I printed out four pictures. So I'm looking at one now. When I leave out the house, I'm looking at another one. You know, I'm looking at pictures of, just to keep me motivated, on this is what these people did during Jim Crow era. And no internet. No internet. And a lot of the things that they did then, we can still do today in 2000. It's 2019. Booker T. Washington, I think he passed away in 1915, I think. Oops. Yeah, 1915, 104. So a lot of things that are in that book, Up From Slavery, you can use those same methods today to generate an income. If you're in a hole financially, there's a solution for you in that book right now. That's my belief. That's my belief. Okay. So, and that's what I call Booker T-nomics. Let's go to Nine Friends right now, because he used the Nine Friends concept a lot in the early days of Tuskegee.
Your money ran off with it. Because I done met these niggas.
Okay, that's not the right one. Okay, hold on. Let me okay, I'm going to have to play something else. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Now, if you go to our Facebook page, which is e-commerce, so E, letter E, commerce, and then Ville, V-I-L-L-E, all one word. It's one word. E-commerceville, which is actually a physical location here in Florida. Scroll down past the first picture we have is a brick that was made by students of Tuskegee. They made that brick as well as thousands more. They made those nails, but scroll down, and then you're going to see a collage of pictures. Now, except for the Supreme brick, which is made by somebody else. But the other pictures are our students, the ones that you see people working. You know, the bottom left picture are Tuskegee students. They made those bricks. And then you see them building buildings. Those are Tuskegee students. That's what I call industrial demics. Industrial demics. That's the classroom. It's not passive. It's active. They made the bricks. They made the mortar. They made the nails. You know, this is what I call real education. Industrial demics. Now, on the upper right-hand picture, you see them, doing more construction. You know, they're putting the roof together. At the, of course, the picture below that is Booker T. Washington. Started out life as a slave. No internet, people. And then the last picture, which is a drawing, and they built this stuff. buildings that they actually built. Okay, somebody's trying to reach me. Let's do this real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Woo. It was an abandoned fucking house, and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Go ahead and hit that like button and make sure that you share this video. All right, man, let's get to the nitty gritty here. You know what I mean? Corey Holcomb, you know, who was a very respected, you know, activist, comedian, you know, whatever you want to call him. I think you said he had a podcast for about a decade now.
5150.
Yeah, yeah, definitely respected. You know, salute to what you do. Salute, you know, to, you know, just being bold and speaking your mind. We definitely, you know, salute that and appreciate that. But it's a clip that came out the other day that's been making, you know, some you know, pretty splashes in the black community, where he's coming out and pretty calling, you know, people out by name. Namely, I ain't even gonna say nothing. I'm just gonna play the video and we're gonna talk about this shit, man. This is crazy right here.
Your money ran off with it. Cause I done met these niggas.
Man, yeah, me too.
When I go up to Zoe show,
yeah,
I done met a nigga. And then when I look at this nigga on the internet, I'll be like, this nigga is a crook.
Right.
This nigga ran off with all them people's money.
Yeah. Shit, he didn't run. He just turned the internet off and went to sleep.
I ain't gonna say no names. I ain't gonna say no names, but he was polite about it. Anybody who know what I'm talking about, he was polite about it.
Man.
Got your money. You entrusted in a motherfucker. Talk about R. Kelly or some shit. Motherfucker, you gave a sucker-ass nickel your money, and he ran off with,
man.
No, motherfuckers talking about Umar Johnson. Yeah, Umar Johnson got your money, too. He said he was going to get a school, but motherfuckers put the shit up there. Polite. Oh, yeah, that traveling. That nigga all over the world, nigga, riding elephants and buying bitches' titties.
Wow.
There's motherfuckers out here who are real predators, scam artist niggas.
Yeah, straight out.
You know what I'm saying? But it ain't no Lifetime channel about that because they really don't know that much about them.
A lot said. First of all, I have to 100% salute that brother for saying it like that. And then we were talking in the pre-production, and you got these little channels that are speaking up with 200, 300 subscribers, but none of these people, none of these guys with the bigger platforms ever say anything, even though they know this shit's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Umar, we've been talking about this. This dude gave multiple dates and straight up and down lies to the people. It ain't no other way to get around it. I don't give a fuck what this dude say. You know what I mean? To all these people on YouTube, fake, conscious, woke, it's become about, nigga, like we said, he's doing the same exact thing that he's accusing everybody else of doing. Going around preaching the same bullshit conscious rhetoric, getting money and not doing shit for 10 years. They gave this nigga money. They gave this nigga $750,000 to $1 million. He hasn't done shit with it, but go around and act like the next pastor in your church. That's all it is, dog. I've been to these meetings, these arenas and shit, you know, these conscious lectures, not just like church. They come around, they give you, you know, the dancing, you know, the dashikis, you know what I mean? Then Umar comes and gives a little with the word. They got the fucking offering played out looking for money. At the end of the game, you're going by the books. You say bye. They never build shit. It's all bullshit. The dude's a liar. The dude's a scammer. We can go right down the line to the next cat. Polite. This nigga done beat niggas for money for years. We've been talking about this shit years ago, people. You know, said we was parasites, we was agents, we was devils, we was all this. Get the fuck out of here. Now we gone. Still doing it. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, God, man. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Let's go all the way here real quick.
Go,
and I'm not playing devil's advocate because I disagree, because I 1,000% agree with everything you say. But we've dropped a couple videos, and I said I didn't really want to talk about this anymore because I want to talk to the source himself because, yeah, this is cool, but all this bullshit, nah. Let's have a conversation man to man. That being said, until that happens, let's have this conversation. Now, there's a lot of people that know you that get creep in the comment section because we're not afraid to talk about it all.
Right.
Let's get uncensored real quick.
Yes, sir.
That say that you used to support this brother. You were there. You used to ride for him, this and that and the third. And now you're turning your back, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Because he lied.
Talk about it.
Because he lied. And that's right. I did. I supported not only but just talking on YouTube. I drove out to lectures. You know what I mean? I bought merchandise. I brought books. I bought the fucking fake ass vegan food at the end of the, you know, the lectures. I've done this type of stuff. I wanted to, you know what I mean? I was really real about what I was doing. But these dudes, you know, were just about getting another buck. You know what I mean? So that, you know, somebody like me who up until last year was riding hard because I thought this dude was sincere. I thought he had, you know, he was committed to his people. Like he said, these are the words that he put up that he was supposed to be living up by. So when he comes out, Umar says, oh, you know what I mean? You got these people talking. Don't listen to them. No, don't listen to us. Listen to your fucking words, Umar. You the one that said you was going to have the school multiple dates and never did it. You the one who won't show the people the money that they gave you. That's not your money. That's not an isolated incident with somebody who's doing business. Nah, that is you took people's money to do something. You didn't do it. And not only you didn't do it, you won't even show them the money. You won't even show the people their own money. You keep, you know, oh, Valentine's Day. Are we going to do with this? You're a fucking liar, dude. It just is what it is. At the very least, you're a liar. And nobody should be giving you money. That just is what it is, man.
10 years. You had 10 years.
10 years.
You can do a lot in 10 fucking years.
Come on, man.
You can do a lot in 10 years. Shit, you got presidents that go 2 terms in 10 years. Whole fucking countries get changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
If you wanted to build a school, if you realistically knew you couldn't build a school, you know that in 2 years. Okay, this isn't going to be really realistically going to be able to happen. Let me go to the people and let them know plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to the people and let them know plan C. You, who knows what you did with the money? Because if we talk about heart to heart, what we may assume you did with the money, with coons, with this, because we're not supporting this, we're not doing that, we're doing that. Man, fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm.
This shit is going on and these roaches are crawling around right up under us and we're allowed to accept it and supposed to let that go on. This isn't a brother that's been talking for 3 months that we didn't give a chance to. This isn't a brother that's been talking for a year and we give a chance to. 10 motherfucking years.
Yeah.
You've been to lectures. You've supported him. You've bought books. You've bought me books.
Yeah.
You spoke so highly of this brother, you were sitting right there on the front line ready to maybe possibly even take a bullet. People called you fucking retarded for it. But you know why you did it? Because you believed in this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he cheated.
What are you saying earlier? You was like, you got people out there talking who didn't give any money. What do you say to that? I know what I got to say to that. What do you got to say to that, Umar? You ain't giving no money. So why the hell are you talking to the school?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't.
But we could, motherfucker. We could right now.
Put our money where our mouth is.
We could right now. That's the thing. That you want to come here and sit in this seat? We could do it. How much you need on the school, Umar? See, we could put our money where our mouth is. We could drop 10, 20, 30,000 on the school if we fucking wanted to, but we not, because you're a liar. And we know that money ain't going to do nothing but go in your pocket and pay for Japanese salt baths and blonde hair strippers and shit, nigga. Come on, man.
And the wild part is we got two major platforms that we could sit here and promote and push. And three. Holla, yeah. My fault on Set the Truth Podcast, official motherfucking channel. Apologies on that. But we got platforms on here that we could show the people exactly what's going on and support you and move in the right direction and really get this going.
That's a tax write-off. That's a tax write-off.
Come on, man. You got businesses.
Yeah.
But we ignorant. We stupid. We ain't got the right thing. So like I said, if he doesn't want to come on, cool. Any of your faculty that's getting ready for that February 14th conversation, any motherfucking janitors that's getting ready for that conversation, any mothers that got any acceptance letters for their babies to get to go into that school, cool. Because if you don't want to invite us to the school, fine. I don't got to go to the school. Because if you put the school up, I have no problem admitting that I'm wrong. Salute you, brother, because all we want is the fucking school.
It ain't no school, bro.
That's all we want.
You ain't gonna get
but
the
it
school.
Ain't no school.
There's people buying schools all day long. Those brothers is making videos in Philly at schools for less than what he said he has right now. I seen it. Schools all up and down. We can do the shit and probably find schools all day long. There ain't no school, bro. It ain't gonna be no school. It's just not. It ain't. You know what I mean? And you know, salute once again, Corey Holcomb.
Zoe Williams.
Zoe Williams, you know, for really, you know, bringing that to light and a real, you know, prominent voice speaking up, because people will call you crazy. People get these all types of threats, but they won't threaten the dude that actually took their bread and said he was going to do something. He didn't do it yet. And there's no excuse. And it's like, all right, even if it took you 10 years and you legitimately have some holdups, just let the people fucking know, show them the money. Like, all right, the money's here. We good. Dr. Umar, how much is it going to cost for us to have a conversation with you about that school? We got to donate $1,000, $2,500 to get the blueprint to talk to some faculty to see if you're really trying to get a school. Doc, the money's on the table, man. Take us up on that offer, bro.
Trying to talk about that live, brother. Like I said, the offer is yours. Shout out to Corey Holcomb, Zoe Williams, and Darlene. That was real dope. We heard Darlene in the background talking about that was church. And I mean, that's all we've been talking about. That's church 101. But anyway, moving on to the Uncensored Truth Podcast. We love him doing what we do, man. I want to talk about real quick, let's segue, because I think we're about to get up out of here. But Nick Cannon, he was talking on TMZ about the whole Travis Scott situation. Obviously, we got the Super Bowl coming in a couple weeks. Very critical of Travis Scott, as many people are. It's very popular to be critical of Travis Scott right now, given the fact of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Let me give you a little bit of a context of what he's saying, and let me get your thoughts on that, man.
What's up?
Your money and ran off with it. Because I done met these niggas.
Man, yeah, me too.
When I go up to Zoe Show,
yeah,
I done met a nigga. And when I look at this nigga on the internet, I be like, this nigga is a crook.
Right.
This nigga ran off with all them people money.
Yeah. Shit, he didn't run. He just turned the internet off and went to sleep.
I ain't gonna say no names. I ain't gonna say no names, but he was polite about it. If That's your money. You entrusted in a motherfucker. Talk about R. Kelly or some shit. Motherfucker, you gave a sucker-ass nickel your money and he ran off with, man. No, motherfuckers talk about Umar Johnson. Yeah, Umar Johnson got your money too. He said he was going to get a school, but motherfuckers put the shit up there. Polite. Oh, yeah, that nigga traveling, that nigga all over the world, nigga riding elephants and buying bitches' titties.
Wow.
There's some motherfuckers out here who are real predators, scam artist niggas.
Yeah, straight out.
You know what I'm saying? But it ain't no Lifetime channel about that because they really don't know that much about them niggas. Who know about them niggas, the niggas they got?
Yeah.
It's niggas on the internet telling you you black and broke because of what you doing. You ain't black and broke because of what you're doing. The system has it set up. Well, you are the people that have been chosen to not have shit. And it won't change. But it's a nigga on the internet.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks, but I had to take a very important phone call. Whew. Boy, if it ain't one thing, it's three others. Let's see. You know what, Robin? Let's see if you're there. Yeah, Robin, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Robin, could you? I'm gonna open up the phone line to one caller that has a question or a comment. I'm going to open up the phone line because I got to take care of something real quick on this end. So I got to mute myself. Okay.
Okay. All right, all right, let me give away some feedback so I can participate.
Okay, Pianaki, you're on with Robin, and I'll mute myself because I got to find out something on this thing.
Yes, I would like to order 4 pancakes, some hash browns, and 2 eggs sunny side up.
I can't wait to hear what you got to say this morning.
You know, I like going to the Waffle House because they have those pecan waffles. I'm crazy about them. Not to no obsession, but every so often. And I can only eat 2. And I like the hash browns with onions and 2 sunny side up eggs with toast with grape jelly. And, man, that's good.
Coming right up. Order up. Pick it up.
Mm-hmm. But I was listening to that conversation that was being held and had here, and these people gave this man all that money. And you know, the big problem is, the question is, why didn't you ask somebody, talk to somebody who have lived through many of these schemes, have seen them, might have even got caught up in them. And we would have told you that what he's trying to do just not going to work. And you should ask yourself some obvious questions too. If the viability of that building being a school, which it was a school, is so great, then why was it closed? And another thing, where in the hell are the kids going to come from?
Yes.
Because if this building was, where was this building? Out on the East Coast?
I'm not exactly sure.
And he's, is that you playing guitar music? L.A. left something running. You still there, Robin?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hearing music in the background, and I don't know why. L.A.? Well, keep talking.
It sounds like one of them old Clint Eastwood movies. A gunfight getting ready to start here in a minute.
Don't kick around. They shoot in.
They're going to start shooting here in a minute. You better step back.
Yeah.
Were you getting ready to have a gunfight or what, man?
No,
I heard
no,
all
no.
that music in the background.
Oh, that's her background. Okay.
Well, me and Robin, okay. I was asking Robin a question.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I was
going to
finish it. I was going to ask Robin, you know, if this building, you know, we asked that first question, well, if it was a school, why come and quit? Then where are the kids coming from? Because he's out on the West Coast drumming this up to collect money. He's up in the North drumming this up to collect money. Well, people in these states are not going to send their kids way the heck out there. So if the school is in a location that closed, probably because there was no more kids, so where are he going to get these kids from? And then again, if you get the kids, are the parents willing to subject their children to what it is you're talking about teaching and how you're talking about teaching? All these questions needed to be asked.
I don't know. I think the man has lost his ever-loving mind, but it's really sad that people can be easily persuaded, I guess, to buy into all of this and saw all the people sending him all that money without any... I mean, he didn't have any proof, no picture, no nothing. And so what happens in the minds of people that we go and we buy into this stuff? Because when you really, really look at it, if you really, really examine it, it's obvious that it's not feasible. So, I mean, what's happening to our people here?
I think they're naive. They listen to these stories. And, you know, the one thing that they always use as a catch on is something demonic about the white man. And then they have this mysterious day. Always got this day. And people fall for that.
That's true. They don't. They ain't never identified who the day is.
Then they have the
we. Yeah.
Who in the heck is this we? So they can't identify the day. Can't logically identify the we. So what happened is people get into this mode. This mode, which is based on the evils of the white man, then they incorporate his evils being, he constructs a system out of it. So we got the system, and then the unidentified we and they. And once you get those going and get it at a fevered pitch, then the pockets start loosening up.
Throw in the praise and worship music, turn up the tempo, and pass that plate.
No, it's a wheelbarrow now.
They got the ATMs in the back of the other churches now.
Oh, yeah, they got
it right at your seat. Wow.
That's an innovation, ain't it?
Yeah, wow.
So that's what happened. People are naive and for some reason or another fall for that stuff. Booker T. Washington talked about that, didn't he, L.A.? About
he sure did. Sure did. People that are making that's their bread and butter. You know, the victimhood thing. That's their industry, being a victim. And telling other people that they're victims too.
Yeah, you gotta convince other people that they are victims.
I ain't got nothing to say to that. Nothing. Wow.
I was arguing with a guy this morning. You know, they got this thing that white folks supposed to disappear. They're going to be a minority. All right. And that white birth rate is low. And I said, well, heck, when you look at black people, they are worse off. Oh, no, whites are disappearing. Their birth rate is low. And I said, well, hell, just because their birth rate is low, when you look at what the baby is viable once it's born compared to black women's babies, black women have the highest mortality rate, infant mortality rate. That means that when the baby's born, it likely don't live, which is about double that of whites. When you look at the abortion rate, it's 444 out of every 1,000. Heck, in Africa, it's about 34 out of every 1,000. And here with whites, I think it's probably in double digits. I'm not sure. Then you look at the fact that you got way more black women than you have black males. Then you look at the fact of the killing between black males. Then when you look at the fact, let's see, there's one more that I can't think what it was. So if you look at the facts, all those facts together, blacks is going to be in a museum one of these days. And the thing to do is to try to address those things that's causing this, because nobody else are going to, Jamaicans ain't going to work on it, Nigerians not going to work on it, Argentinas and Eskimos are not going to work on it. Blacks got to work on that themselves. So I don't know what to say.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up for today because, you put out one fire that I thought was out, and another one pops up. So thank you, Pianki. Thank you, Robin. Call it a day for today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.